My name is Keely Kinsey and I'm a proud Indigenous woman of the Wathaurong tribe. On behalf of the Call It Out podcast, we would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we meet upon today, the Wathaurong people of the Kulin Nation. We would like to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging and acknowledge the sovereignty was never ceded. The Call It Out podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises a continuing connection to lands, waterways and communities.
Call It Out is a podcast led by students from Sacred Heart College and St. Joseph's College in Geelong. Listening through the lens of young people, the podcast episodes are an insightful journey into contemporary issues impacting them, discussing the themes such as gender equality, unhealthy masculinity, everyday sexism, healthy relationships and consent. We are given an intimate invitation into what young people think.
Three, two, one.
I'm Zoe, she, her.
I'm Hannah, she, her.
I am Colby, he, him.
I'm Georgia, she, her.
Here we're just to discuss key things we took away from the interview with Harry Garside around gender stereotypes and just what we thought about it.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was actually just amazing.
Kind of a bit starstruck, but yeah. Yeah.
At the end, I couldn't even think of a question. I was just like, your answers were really good.
Yeah. But, oh my gosh, he just said so many, his perspective is just so refreshing. Mm-hmm. I feel like you never hear that kind of viewpoint, I feel like, anymore. And it's so refreshing that, it's all over social media and he's so open and honest about who he is as a person and what he holds as values and everything.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know if this might upset a few people, but I think the sort of contrast between him and some other like male celebrities that sort of like focus on being more feminine, he sort of actually does the, like, walks the walk rather than just, showing up on a magazine with a dress on. He kind of actually goes around helping out with masculinity and femininity, like this podcast as well.
Mm. It's authentic.
Yeah. He is. Yeah, he's true to himself. He holds his values very strongly, which I think is so powerful.
Yeah.
I like the perspective that he's not doing it for a movement or anything. Mm. He's doing it because that's who he is.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, he's embracing his femininity because he has this femininity to embrace. Right. He's not just doing it as a trend or to
grow his own person. Yeah, yeah. Just to better himself.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved his perspective on social media though.
Yeah.
So much. Because I think that it's such a powerful tool that I feel like is so, I don't know, has so many negative kind of perspectives now. So people are like, oh, you've got all the people who are really like unhealthy to be following and all that on social media, the kind of unrealistic social media expectations. Whereas he was saying, social media can be flipped. It's a double-ended sword?
Double-ended sword. Yeah. I think that's a good analogy for that
one. I think so, yeah. And you can flip it the other way and use it to promote, these really, forward-thinking views and these really promote your own self.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to word it. But
I also thought it was really interesting how he spoke about kind of contradictory to what other like celebrities or influencers have kind of spoken about, but how he said when you're with someone who has a completely different opinion, you still got to maintain respect. I think as much as I know so many people who are amazing in challenging gender stereotypes, quite often they approach it with maybe a little bit too
defensive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where he said he emphasized the importance of having a conversation and sitting down and understanding and acknowledging everyone's differences and perspectives, but respecting it.
It's a conversation. Like, that's what we need. Mm. We need to be having these conversations. So it's rather than being like, my opinion's right, yours is wrong, or vice versa. It's more like, let's just talk it out and see what kind of common ground we can come to.
Yeah.
And I think we see that a lot now with examples of people that break gender stereotypes on the media and stuff like that, and how not willing they are to have a conversation with someone who might not agree with them. And I thought Harry just so well worded, like the way that we're all like human, we all have the same things that we love and like in life, and we're just different personally. But he handled the idea of talking with people who maybe don't believe in the big ideas of breaking the gender barriers, but he talked about like treating them with respect because we're all human, like,
yeah,
we're all in this together.
Yeah, I loved the like analogy with, like, you know, everyone's born with a bit of masculinity and a bit of femininity, but it's just what, you know, I can't remember exactly.
A pendulum sort of like swinging between. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah, and you've got to kind of embrace both sides of yourself, and by kind of shutting down one side and putting yourself into this box, you know, you're not going to be able to grow as a person, you know. I thought that was so valuable.
Got to have a healthy balance.
Jumping back a little bit, I think also the way he spoke about, you know, the older generation as well, and how sort of these social stereotypes are more of a generational thing, and how, you know, obviously they're not, the times move. In the last 50 years, even the mindset of a lot of people have changed, but you know, their social stereotypes are still rigid and they don't change, which is sort of why it's a little bit difficult for people to, you know, just expect everyone to change, which is why I think Harry tied that into, you know, having a genuine conversation, because we're all different based on our experiences.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what happens over the next, like, 10, 20 years.
Our
generation becomes, you know, the older, and then we have younger generations coming through. It'll be really interesting to see kind of, you know,
will all we have broken that, or will we still be perpetuating our own social stereotypes that we've gathered?
And all these issues that we're talking about now, you know, what will they be in 20 years from now?
Exactly.
It'd be so interesting to see. Yeah.
Even when he spoke about generational, like, differences between different generations, when he spoke about the Reach Foundation, I found it interesting that he said that a lot of the people who were facilitating the program were in their 20s. They were closer age to the young people when he was in high school in that program, which I think it's good to be around different ages, obviously, but in a situation for the Reach Out Foundation, when you've got young kids who want to speak about certain issues that are impacting them, I think it's good to have people similar age. They're going to be within the generation. We've had lots of more social media impact, but it's also been good for our perspectives on gender stereotypes.
So do you think that's because they're more, the younger people are, the more they're able to relate to these younger people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in the Reach Foundation specifically, being of a younger age, it's easier to relate and easier to be able to empathise with them in terms of mental health and different things like that. Yeah. I feel like that's normally a reason why these, like, different programs have younger people working or volunteers.
Yeah, there's been, like, less time between them being where you were. Mm. You know, they understand it's still quite fresh in their mind, so they can kind of put themselves into your shoes, I think, better than people who, say, are maybe 30, 40 years older than you.
Like, I always think the conversations around that work better when there's a closer age gap, but, like, enough to have a difference of, like, respect or maturity. Like, I always find the conversations go better around, like, big issues like these when you're talking to, like, the older generation, when someone closer to their age is explaining it to them. Or, like, it's just, I think it's always important to talk to people with your age because you're living in the same world. Like, you've grown up in the, like, same ideology. And
I feel like there's not that extension of respect from the older generation to the younger when talking about these issues. I feel like when say if we're having a conversation now, we're more likely to respect each other and understand each other's views rather than talk down to each other or, like, be condescending, where I feel like people the older generation expect, like, respect from you but don't, like, reciprocate, if that makes sense.
Authority with age as well.
It's a weird hierarchy, you know. It's a bit kind of blurry, but it's there, which I thought was really powerful with the interview that we just did. You mentioned it before, you know, I didn't feel like I was being talked down to. I didn't feel like I was being.
I thought he was so humble. Like, this guy's a gold Commonwealth winning boxer and a, like, Olympic medalist.
Yeah. Challenging gender stereotypes in his everyday life.
He does not have to be talking to us. He does not have to be giving us that level of respect, because we know other people with his same titles wouldn't. But he does, because it's out, like, it's out of the goodness of his own heart. But he's also just such a great example of when people do just let go of that preconceived idea of hierarchy or ideas of who they have to be.
Yeah.
Everything's just so much better. Like, that was probably one of the best conversations I've had with someone that age.
About
an issue.
Yeah, he doesn't abandon his values just because of, like, the fame he's received.
Yeah.
Mm. He's able to stay true and be able to, like, just have normal conversations with people.
If we think about it, it's only been in the past, I was going to say decade, but even in the past few years, there's been a huge movement for not only gender stereotype awareness, but mental health.
Yeah.
So it's only in ages that are quite younger, if we think of, like, Gen Y and Z, like millennials, that we have been starting this conversation. So sometimes it's interesting to gain perspectives from other ages, but we can relate more onto a yeah. to a level basis with mm-hmm. someone.
Yeah, I think well, so.
I've just got a little anecdote. I don't mm-hmm. think this, I don't know how much this relates, but when I was going on to this podcast, I was talking to my English teacher mm-hmm. and I was speaking about like, how do you think language sort of ties into gender stereotypes? And he was sort of talking about how, I don't know if I can swear on here, but I'll say you all know some swear words like the B word mm-hmm. yeah. and then dog and yeah. how they sort of are relating. And I'll explain that a bit more. So the B word sort of obviously relates to in as a denotation, which is just the dictionary definition, sort of a female dog. And then when you talk about a dog, it's just a male dog. But then the connotation that has in society or the implied meaning is sort of that the B word is sort of a like sign of weakness or sign of like being afraid or fearful, whereas a dog is sort of being like
strong. And
yeah, or like, you know, a snitch or something like that. Yeah. But I feel like if – and then he asked the class if you'd rather be called a B word or a dog. And everyone said a dog because they'd rather not show weakness, which is sort of mm-hmm. a sign of femininity,
yeah.
which is what he's saying. Because even the language that we use every day sort of still plays into these harmful stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just so valuable for me mm-hmm. that I now watch what I'm saying yeah. and how I'm using the language to make sure that I'm not perpetuating these harmful things.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the language you use will kind of communicate how you're thinking about yeah. a certain
exactly.
topic.
Even you if know? You're not meaning it, like mm. exactly. it could be happen subconsciously due to like generational things yeah. and that's just how you're brought up. Mm. But I feel like just consciously being able to unlearn those things that you've learned is really important.
Relativism yeah. versus we determinism. Literally,
yeah, we exactly. Literally you guys do English yeah. language too. Yeah.
The English language people exactly. all understand.
That's yeah. it.
No, but I also thought it was interesting the way he talked about combat sport and boxing mm. because like there's such perceived things to be like the macho man does that or like exactly. the super like strong like
very,
built yeah. up boxers do that sport. But like the way he talks about it with such like he doesn't talk about it as if it's a – super macho sport. He yeah. talks no. about it as it's just
yeah.
a just sport.
Yeah, it's yeah. just a sport. It's not got to do with gender.
Exactly. Like I feel like in most media, it's portrayed as sort of a like pent up aggression being released, and yeah. sort of like people fight because they you know have those hormones inside them that they just need to release. But whereas he talks about it more as like he like sort of compares it more to ballet as well. He sort of talks about like a dance and like a. You know, a conversation sort of, well, the way I think of it now is sort of a conversation with the other person that you're like, you know, you're fighting, but you're not really doing it out of anger. You're doing it out of sort of
respect.
Respect. Yeah. yeah.
Mm. Well, like I think I also noted down a few points he made about combat sports and the importance of them, especially in schools. He also said a very similar thing in an interview. I've heard him. But he said it improves like your self-respect, not just for yourself, but for others that you're fighting as well. Self-love, discipline, and self-confidence, but you're also aware of your capabilities. I think that's an important thing to reinforce within our young people, especially through not just combat sports, but sports and exercise as well. It's a really awakening opportunity to see what you're capable of, not yeah. just intellectually, but physically. And obviously there are great benefits for your mental health as well.
I think so. And it's interesting that he talked about as well the consistency because he was saying, you know, people will be like, oh, I'm going to enroll my child into combat lessons, but they go to two lessons and go, oh, perfect, they've done. It's like checking off a box, you know, but I feel like it's the consistency of having that discipline and having that, I don't know how to word it.
It's a long-term project. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Anything. You can't just jump into it and go, yeah, tick the box off,
You're not going to learn something overnight. You know, you need to keep going and keep doing it, and that's where you develop the discipline and the respect and the self-confidence.
And I feel like the consistency also ties into what he was talking about social media and how you present yourself to the wider community and what you do behind closed doors.
Yeah.
How speaking sort of about, you know, you may like present yourself as this person who loves like social justice and all that stuff about, you know, helping others and things, and then you see a lady in the street and you don't, you know, do anything to help her.
Yeah.
It's sort of just like that consistency as well as combat sport. You need to be like true to yourself at all times and not just like putting on a mask consciously.
Yeah, if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk.
Exactly.
I think he was obviously, like we said, he's very authentic, but he was very similar to what I've seen him on social media. It wasn't like on social media he's this icon, he's awesome, and then he spoke down to us or was disrespectful. Like I said, it was interesting that a lot of us follow him on social media platforms and we see him doing all these amazing things. But he was still true to himself. He's still the same person. He doesn't
like he wasn't any different.
It's no.
Like, yeah, I never had that thought of like, oh, he's so much different in real life. Like I thought, oh yeah, he's just the exact same.
He's who he is. Yeah.
That could have been something from his story. Mm. I was watching his story this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but one of the other things I thought was really like, I was surprised, but like in a good way, was the way that like he talks about his older brothers and dad being so masculine in their masculinity. But he doesn't talk about it as if it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
He just talks about it as if that's the way that they were and it's fine.
Exactly. He sort of spoke about it as if it was in the middle, not really like that traditional masculinity is bad, but having too much traditional masculinity and then looking down on people who are in touch with femininity is sort of bad, you know?
Yeah, like I thought it was just such a good perspective that I hadn't seen before from many of the like things that I've listened to and stuff like that, being that it's not a bad thing to be masculine or very feminine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just important to still embrace your femininity or masculinity to a certain degree that is you individually.
And if who you are is someone who's really masculine or really feminine, then that's who you are, you know? But, you know, I feel like, it's it was just interesting. It just kind of ties into the whole respect thing again. You know, he respects that that's who they are, and they've, you know, he's had conversations with them about, you know, his beliefs and their beliefs and stuff, but no matter what, he still respects them as people and who they are, which I think is so powerful.
I think it's important when he was talking about having a balance between being masculine and feminine for both males, females, gender diverse people. But it was interesting how growing up he said his mum was very left-wing, very spiritual, very feminine. And on the other hand, his two brothers and his dad were incredibly masculine, have had the appearance of very tough. And it's just interesting how that kind of constitutes now he's a bit of both. Like he displays both of these sides. And like he said, some of them are amplified, some of them aren't as prominent in certain situations if he's had a bad week or something, or if he's supporting someone else. It always changes. Yeah. It's dynamic.
I thought it was such a just a good perspective of being like, you can have both. Or like have one accentuated more than the other, as long as you're not hiding the other.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
his example of being there for his partner when she was nervous or something like that on his masculine side, but then also showing his femininity all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
And I feel like the way he talked about masculinity was like, he is a very masculine person, as we've seen. But he isn't masculine because he feels like he has to be. He's masculine because that's just the way he is, true to himself.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, this is what society wants. He's not consciously doing it because he wants to fit in, which I feel like is very important. Like, there's nothing wrong with being traditionally masculine, but if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then it's then it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
So
I think another thing that I thought was really cool was right at the start when we were talking about I guess growing up, you know, and then kind of trying to channel both of, you know, he was saying himself, he had to move away from people who were like really harmful. And I feel like that's, it's such good advice, but I feel like it's so hard for young people, I would say, I don't know, year 7 and 8. I think we've talked about it on previous podcasts, but that age is just so...
Such a difficult
age. You're trying so hard to fit in with everyone else because you feel as if you're, if you don't, you're just a target. You've got a target on your back.
And we spoke on one of our other podcasts, which are launching today. we spoke about how when you're in year 7 to 8, it's that's probably the prime time we're talking about where people find themselves, finding their friendship group, sorting out just who they are as a person. But that's when you will see a shift in people changing themselves, adapting their personality to suit another group. And quite often it is easier to fit in than to stand out and be authentic and true to yourself.
And I feel like if you're, if by doing that you're then suppressing parts of yourself, then that's where the whole harmful...
What was the word for it?
Yeah,
it's gotta go somewhere. If you're suppressing everything,
it's still in there somewhere, but you're just not channeling it and you're not being true to yourself.
You said, it's a gut feeling. He said it comes from the heart.
I thought his advice to talk to your parents about the way you're feeling as well, though, was really just like a good idea that, like, I know a lot of people just wouldn't fathom doing because they wouldn't know how to start it or something like that.
And I feel like, sorry to cut you off, but I feel like the way that the reason why a lot of people find that hard ties back into the older generation thing. Like they don't understand, like not all of them obviously, but generalized, it's harder to understand, you know, mental health and different things about gender stereotypes because they haven't been exposed to that when they were younger. Because they were obviously, their parents had been in the boomer generation. So it's sort of a bit of like not like a lack of understanding of how to talk about it or how to be equipped to empathize with people. Because I feel like our generation, when we have kids, will be a lot easier to empathize with
Yeah, mm-hmm. which we were talking about before, about, you know, it'll be interesting to see that shift kind of in
exactly.
the perspectives of the generations below us and then below us again, just because of the people that are the adults in their life have a completely switched mindset to what the people currently have.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly.
I mean, even if we go on a little bit of a history tangent, think about it, our people, like our older generations, our boomers, who a lot of them, I themselves had family, parents who went to World War One and went to World War Two, and when they arrived back incredibly traumatized, they were told, you're not to talk about any of your experiences. They were told that on many occasions. So you had a lot of predominantly males who came back and were incredibly stressed, anxious, but didn't have any way to talk about it.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to talk about it. They just had to continue on with their lives.
Mm. So I think that carries on.
No, exactly. That's, so I think that's why a lot of our older generations, again, a lot of the times it's males need to talk about their mental health.
Yeah, and it's slowly kind of filtered down. You know, the more generations happen, the more, I guess, the whole males, you know, people being able to talk about their emotions is happening, but there's still kind of that rigid stereotype from the higher generations that's only slowly trickling out now as you get towards our generation.
No, I thought his idea on challenges and that you can only grow when it gets hard was just such a good just key idea or just framework to think about the way of life. Like his challenges are like he sleeps on the streets of Bondi with the homeless. Like he challenges himself physically, mentally all the time. And I think that's just such a good way to be. And like when we're looking at these gender stereotypes, challenging yourself by maybe showing one more thing about your masculinity or femininity that you've been too scared to show before. Yeah. Like if you're a guy, you know, even the smallest thing of putting a ring on that you would be nervous to beforehand, or painting your nails.
Yeah.
Like just like doing something small.
They don't have to be extreme. Yeah. They just can be it's like just, something that challenges you.
And then you can grow from that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even he said that it's really easy to have that visual impact to break down gender stereotypes. That's a really easy way to even just be like, you know, show people. They can see that. They can see that, oh, yeah, starts the conversation. Yeah.
Because he spoke, obviously he mentioned it many times throughout the interview with him about the importance of having a conversation. But like I said, if I think an important lesson, especially for our young people, is if you don't feel comfortable having a conversation, a small thing you can do that's visual is, just dressing a little bit.
Channel your feminine side or your masculine side.
Not even dressing differently to what you would, just dressing authentically to yourself. Exactly. Yeah. Putting yourself in this box of, oh, that's male clothing, that's female clothing. Yeah. I have to be one of them.
Yeah, I think so. I reckon another thing as well, which I thought was really cool, was him talking about doing something that you're bad at. And because he was saying, you know, ballet was that for him. He started, I think he started in 2019. He started ballet. And, you know, he wasn't good at it when he started. He'd never done it before. But I think it's just that power of, you know, try something new that you've always wanted to try, even if you're bad at it. You know, you're not going to be amazing at it after doing it for one day. You know?
Yeah, and especially with sports and hobbies, I think we kind of touched base on this in the interview as well. But we're often taught that you have to be good at a sport and you have to have started it at a young age. Whereas for him to talk about starting ballet only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, still sometimes like will put himself in uncomfortable situations for ballet and not feel like he's performing at his best, but still to learn that to understand that you might be growing 1% per week.
Yeah, the idea that any action is good action towards what you want to do. Like,
well, because there's no harm in trying something new. What have you got to lose from trying something new? You know, you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. You're going out of that box. You're following your heart.
Yeah.
But is that really a bad thing? If it's
even
making the smallest benefit to your life, even just mentally, having you know, a 1% impact on your mental health, that's a huge
difference. It's
still
1%.
It's still 1%. Yeah,
and huge. I feel like the way that we're sort of discouraged to pick things up later in life is sort of just really counterintuitive. I'm not sure why that you would want to, you know, look down upon something that is beneficial to you, like in every way. It's really.
We even get told at our age that we're probably too old to start a new sport. You know, I think I've been told that.
I even remember in primary school, like in year four, I wanted to play netball and I was told, oh, you're probably too old to join to like get in a good team or like.
And you're like 10 years old.
And so I couldn't do it. I'm a nine. I'm 9'10". Like
it's always something. It always comes back to that competitiveness. Like you can never do something for fun.
Yeah.
It always has to be for something.
Yeah.
You can never do something for yourself, like in the current world. Like you always have to do things for a greater purpose, you know?
Yeah, like, and I think that's where you'll see the shift is when people start actually doing things for themselves, then you'll see, oh, things are actually really beneficial.
I think you can see that in Harry Garside compared to other people or celebrities exactly. that take on these ideologies. Like, he's doing it because that's who he is, and he enjoys wearing a skirt to the GQ Awards or modeling in gender neutral clothing and stuff like that. Like, he does it all because that's who he is and that's what he enjoys. There's no bigger purpose or bigger people around him making him do that.
And, he's not doing it to impress someone. Yeah.
I feel like when that happens, we'll see less judgment as well around it. Like, people are always criticizing or doubting people like Harry. They'll be like, oh, you're just doing this for attention, or you're doing it for fame and stuff like that, which is like really like harmful, because it just stops people, like it prevents people from being able to show themselves. And I think once we just break down those barriers, it also can get rid of or eliminate those judgments as well.
Yeah.
And I think an important takeaway for people of any age is that you're never too old to learn anything. You're never never too wise to learn something new or throw yourself in an uncomfortable situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like one of my uncle's friends who was saying learnt surfing when he was 60, started surfing when he was really old.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. He enjoys it.
He's probably better than me.
There's people who start companies in their 70s.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just about, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, because it's just staying in your comfort zone your whole life is not very fun. It's really
I think my favorite, one of my favorite things that Harry said in this, which relates to this, is that being special is your superpower.
Yeah.
And you've got to use your superpower to make your difference in the world. Yeah,
and I think that's something that we really need to communicate to younger people who may listen to this, is that, you know, I know it's been hammered into you, like, for as long as you can remember, but really being unique and standing out from other people is honestly something that a lot of adults really try to promote, because, you know, obviously the younger generation, when you're in school trying to be like everyone else, sort of can cloud the fact that you want to be more like yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So
I think one of the things Haringa was saying was to embrace yourself. Because, like, when you embrace yourself, you'll be so much happier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To call it out, you have to live your true life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great quote.
But also, as well as that, I just want to sort of step away from that a little bit. But I spoke to the other people on the other podcast as well. But I sort of wanted to sort of just see what you guys thought about gender stereotypes, and if it's easier for women to break them down rather than men. Because what I've noticed is that with the fashion that's changing now, a lot more women, or like female presenting people, are able to, you know, wear suits or wear traditionally masculine clothing, whereas you don't see as many men doing that. Yeah. So what's your opinions on that?
Yeah, I reckon a really interesting example is our school uniform, I think, because we have pants and shorts and everything now, but I don't think that, you know, people will look at, you know, people wearing shorts and pants and be like, oh, that's like a really masculine thing to do.
Exactly.
They're just like, oh, it's just, but they're just wearing the uniform.
But if Joey's had a skirt or a kilt or something like that, it'd be looked very weirdly.
Yeah, I think it's different for us as well, because we go to all boys and all girls schools, and at all girls schools, it's quite a good environment to thrive in.
Yeah.
You're with other girls like more girls do science than it's like, or co-ed schools. I've heard of like methods, which is the second level of maths and VCE, and two girls do it at a co-ed school because they're scared to be in a class with boys. Like, you get, it's like a better environment to be embraced in as a girl at an all-girls school. But I think the opposite is said for a boys' school. I think
it's a lot less.
Yeah, from what I've heard, and I've had one class at Joey's, and it's been enough of an experience to be like, it is just so much harder to embrace yourself, and especially if you're looking at femininity and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the whole girls thrive in single sex and
boys do not. Yeah.
Boys thrive in co-ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like maybe the common denominator is being around women who are more, you know, open-minded. Yeah. As like, I don't know if that's a biological thing or more of a social thing, but I feel like, especially in this society, women are a lot more open-minded to change than men.
Yeah.
So,
but I feel like it's something that will change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel 10 like years, I'd yeah, say, especially maybe because of this podcast. Mm. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that was an interesting point you made about like our uniform adapting, like including shorts and pants. Like, I know heaps of people who wear shorts and pants.
I only wear the
pants. I've worn the pants because they're more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think the traditionally masculine clothing has sort of become the new gender neutral norm? Do you think like
pants and shirts? Symbol of gender neutrality, even in, I keep on drawing on social media posts from Harry Larson. I think after the iconic runway a few weeks ago, I think he addressed a comment that was saying, all right, it's great that you're wearing traditionally feminine clothing like skirts, dresses. He said, but the person who posted the comment said, what if a female wore shorts and a t-shirt? Would we be praising her?
That's a really interesting perspective that I don't think I've ever... Because I don't think that's a perspective that you really see that much over social media.
Because on the runway, if you see Harry Garside wearing a skirt, you go, oh, like that's awesome, these challenging stereotypes. Yeah. But if you saw a female wearing pants, would you go,
good job,
she's just wearing pants?
No, you'd be like, she's just, like, you know, wearing pants.
Just one of the examples I was going to give on with gender stereotypes was... We had a workshop in primary school that was basically the girls watching the Run Like a Girl video, which is a really good campaign for ideas of breaking gender stereotypes.
Yeah. And the girls boys didn't watch it as well.
No, and the boys were basically the boys in our class were blamed for, like, basically given a blaming session for everything wrong with female gender stereotypes. Yeah.
I do want to speak a little bit about the patriarchy before that. So obviously that's quite a prevalent thing still today, obviously, and I think what you were saying about being shown the videos was really, I think it was a universal experience, especially for me at primary school as well. But I think what's really important is that what Harry talked about with the conversations, the comfortable ones where sort of respect and see both sides, and especially understanding that men do have a lot of advantages with different things in today's society, but also understanding that they're not at fault for it. And that you talk about, and they need to understand, well, like, yeah, everyone needs to understand what advantages come out of that. But also not that you're blaming them, because that sort of triggers more of a defensive stance. And just sharing that mutual respect, being like, here's what happens and here's why that's negative. And then being like, yeah, that makes sense. And then being able to have that new perspective in men being able to look at different things.
Because I feel like if you're sitting there, and I understand, you know, if you want to split up the boys and girls, split up the boys and girls, whatever, but you should be offering them the same content either way. But I feel like sitting there and going to a group of 10 and 11 year old boys and sitting there in a primary school setting, splitting them from the girls when the girls get shown this, I don't know, kind of empowering video and all that. When you sit with the boys and you go, you are the problem, you go to 10-year-old and 11-year-old boys, you are the problem with the patriarchy, you are the reason that, like, you know, people aren't being able to express themselves properly. I feel like that it would be much more beneficial to be like, you should embrace your inner femininity and stuff.
It just
so
makes
that they
them angry.
That's what Harry mentioned as well. If you don't respect someone's perspective and opinions, if you just go straight to blaming them, they're going to stamp their foot and go and drive even harder and go, you know what,
Yeah, and as you said, it makes people defensive because they have this mindset of, oh, I'm being blamed for something I didn't do, so I've got to step back and be like, well, it's not my fault.
And as well, from what my experience is, not that I'm a woman, but in the experience I've seen is that oftentimes when you teach women that they are, you know, that men have advantages and they're all like they are, it sort of teaches them to not really feel comfortable and they don't really – like, why am I a woman then? Why would I want to be a woman? You know, I'd rather, like, if men are getting all these advantages, what's good about being a woman? And they don't really feel comfortable being, like, embracing their femininity. They sort of feel like, and it's just that.
I have this vivid memory from when I was in, I reckon I would have been year two maybe, and I was talking with one of my friends and she comes up and we were just talking and she goes, I don't want to be a woman. Like, I don't want to.
Exactly.
Because I have all of these, like, you know, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was something along like, I have all of these expectations to be a woman on me. Like, this is an 8-year old saying this as well. And just she was like, I would just rather be. And she was like, I would just rather be a man.
Exactly.
Like, that is so fair.
So I feel like moving away from teaching women to feel more, showing them the positives of femininity and how they can embrace that more and feel empowered to step forward and embrace that rather than feel sort of disappointed in their like gender sort of thing, you know.
Or feeling like embracing, I can't say the word very well, but femininity is at the expense of being treated not as equal.
And then, but then you also, like, you have to think as well from the perspective of if you're teaching women to embrace their femininity, you also have to teach males to do that as well. Because that, you need to start breaking down those barriers, breaking down those stereotypes. That's such the rigid... the rigid stereotype that they have on them to be masculine and stuff where I feel like, you know, people are encouraging women to be more feminine or to be, I don't know, less feminine, to be who they want to, but you're not doing the same for men.
I feel like oftentimes as well, another experience that I've seen with different like speeches and special guests and things like that is that they often view masculine and femininity as like a scale. And it's like if you want to... you know, embrace femininity, you take away masculinity. So it's like it's sort of speaking about, I'll break down the gender norms and more like make sure you can express your emotions, and then they sort of view that and they sort of come across like if you're doing that, it's less masculine.
Yeah.
So by moving up, by sort of embracing femininity, you're taking away or having less masculinity, which is sort of like negative to a lot of people, and they don't want that, so they sort of
I feel like it's very viewed right now as a line, like on one side you've got femininity, the other side you've got masculinity, in the middle you've got the balance,
whereas it's more as a continuum,
it's a spectrum.
More
like, and I thought it goes up down backwards
Harry put it really well. He was like, they're yin and yang, they go together,
and it's and they're not mutually exclusive. You can have them at the same time as well. You can be masculine while also showing femininity at the same time. They don't have to be, you know, different things, like that just also pushes for more divisive society, like femininity and masculinity, they can't be together, they can't be the same thing. You know, they have to be men and women on different sides fighting against each other all the time.
But with the yin and yang thing, it's like if you've got masculinity, there's femininity in the masculinity.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
And one of them could be stronger at a given time, but with that, as long as you're not suppressing the other one.
Yeah,
exactly. At times you might feel that you're more masculine or more feminine, but you don't have to
suppress
compromise.
The other.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't have to compromise. Just be who you are, feel what you want to feel when you feel like it, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Exactly. I think that's a really important takeaway from that.
How do we think we can call it out?
I feel like it's a lot easier at our age, because I feel like we're sort of, like our age, we're sort of going into being a lot more mature, and that it's a lot easier to call stuff out. I find for me at least, I'm a lot like more ready to call things out and like talk to people about things. But I feel like calling stuff out, as Harry said, it's sort of a lot less like telling people what they did wrong or why, or like not telling people that they're wrong, but sort of it's a lot less of like saying that people, or villainizing or demonizing people for making a genuine mistake, or, you know.
You don't want to interrogate them.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, you did this wrong, and like painting them to be like a villain. You got to sort of show them what they did was wrong and why this is wrong in today's society. And, you know, just show them that.
Yeah, it's having a respectful, open and like conversation where you truly do respect the other person's opinion. You're not forcing an opinion on them, but you have to listen and hope that they listen to you.
Yeah, I think that respect boundary is so important. Something I think it's such a refreshing perspective as well, because I don't think I'd really ever thought of it that way. You know, neither. Obviously you need to respect people's views, but if you've got someone who's got quite extreme views, you know, it's often you kind of just sit there and just go, oh, like, you know, they're just the wrong views. I don't agree with them. But I think listening to them is just so valuable in society if we want to move somewhere and grow.
And I think even if you talk about, like, make reference to maybe microaggression or or aggressive language, which is like targets against males or females, like things like, oh, you're dressing like a boy, or stop being a girl. I think that when you break that down, instead of asking someone, interrogating, like, oh, don't say that, that just tells them off. Say, why do you feel that? Or why did you say that? Why do you think it's...
Why do you think that dressing that way is more masculine or something like that? Like, so really just showing them to be introspective and think about it.
It comes back to kind of the whole thing that's like, if you are almost telling people off, it makes them feel... defensive. It makes them feel like they have, they need to defend themselves. Yeah. They need to, like,
rather than change, rather than actually thinking about what they're doing. Like, aggression just sort of creates a divide more.
Like, even with this podcast, the aim is to reduce violence against women, but we're breaking down all the issues that lay underneath the iceberg. We're not sitting there going, all right,
men stop.
Stop doing this. We've had enough.
Yeah.
We're actually talking about the issues that we can change that lead to preventing violence against women.
Yeah, and where it all stems from as well, and how, you know, we can stop things early. And I feel like it's very important. I went to a great, like, a speech about with Grace Tame. I'm not sure if you know.
Wow.
I love her. She's amazing. But I went and she spoke about her experiences, and also different ways to call it out as well, which I think is very fitting for this podcast.
Yeah.
So she was talking about, because I think I was one of the only men there, like one of the only young men there. So, she was speaking sort of directly to men and young men specifically about, you know, being part of the conversation and showing that, and standing in solidarity with women and, you know, just being able to be there and support, and not being, and not perpetuating this divisive sort of view of the world.
So to finish, I think we'll just have a, you know, go around and talk about our own individual takeaways from the interview. So Hannah, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, obviously we spoke about a lot of interesting points Harry raised, but I think one of the things that stuck with me was being authentic to yourself. I feel like when we talk about masculinity versus femininity, there's often a divide with that. But I think if we just stay true to ourselves, follow your gut, follow your heart, you know who you are. And I think that's a really important thing that he embodies as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to that, I think that what I took away was also having a really respectful relationship and conversation with people of opposing views, and not letting emotions take over, and just having that really like proper respectful conversation, and not to prevent defensiveness and things like that.
Probably the same thing around just the respectful conversations that a lot of people just don't get to experience when talking about a topic like this. But also just being there and embracing the ideas of gender, breaking down gender stereotypes.
Mm. Yeah, I think one of my main takeaways, I think, was social media. Because I think, how we talked about it as such like a powerful tool that we should utilise, and how we should use it to challenge our own insecurities and, use it to show the world who you are and be your true self through social media. It's a really good way to promote yourself and what you believe in.
Yeah.
Mm. So thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and we can't wait to see you next time.
Yeah. Call it out, guys.
Call it out.